OHOP Valley Restoration Podcast. This is OHOP Valley, a beautiful, fragile ecosystem nestled in western Washington near the town of Eatonville. We will attempt to explore the physical and biological history of OHOP Valley, the manipulation by settlers, the restoration efforts that are going on presently to save its ecosystem. OHOP Valley was carved out by glacial Lake Russell. The valley's headwaters come from OHOP Lake and 25 Mile Creek. These headwaters drain from Mount Rainier through the valley in what is known as OHOP Creek on its way down to meet the Nisqually River. Jeanette Dorner, Salmon Recovery, Program Manager for the Nisqually Tribe, described pre-settler OHOP Valley as...
Valley floor used to be covered with shrubs and trees, vegetation, and so like we call it like scrub, and then forest, and it was thick. It was very thick, and so you imagine that whole valley floor was just like full of plants, you know, shrubs and trees, and then you had the creek sort of meandering through the middle of it, and there was probably a lot of beavers and wetlands and ponds, and the whole valley floor is basically all wetland soils.
OHOP Creek is in a wide valley floodplain. The whole valley floor used to be covered with shrubs and trees and weeds spanning from cranberry, gooseberry, spruce, cottonwood, cedar, hemlock, alder, vine maple, salmonberry, devil's club, cherry, hazel, willow, thorny vines, dense undergrowth of fir, cedar, maple, salal, spice wood, and crab maple. In 1889, recently arriving Scandinavian settlers manipulated the valley. Because the valley floor was a wetland and sits in a floodplain, it was not viable for farming or grazing. Settlers, however, would not be discouraged and went about rearranging the ecosystem to fit the needs of agriculture.
So then in the 1930s, they came through with a steam shovel and dug the creek down into a deep ditch to try and get it from flooding the valley floor. So they completely changed the shape and the nature of the stream and the habitat. You know, basically went from this natural meandering stream with natural vegetation around it to a ditch on the side of the valley floor.
This deeper, straighter ditch allowed for more drainage and for improved agricultural qualities. They grew hay, grain, wheat, vetch, potatoes, carrots, and fruits. They all had dairy cows, sheep, and chickens. In order for the farmers to graze and farm, they had to further manipulate the valley's ecosystem. This affected its biodiversity, which not only directly affects all the life in the valley, but also affects life downstream, everywhere, in the Nisqually watershed. Florian Leichner, restoration biologist for the Nisqually Tribe's Salmon Recovery Department.
With that ditch, it totally disconnects the entire valley, the hydrology of the entire valley, away from the ditch, except through groundwater. It still drains it through groundwater or other ditch systems. But, you know, fish don't live in groundwater, they live in surface water.
By replacing the marshes and wetlands, the farming land the settlers made unavailable habitat that is essential for biodiversity and a health ecosystem. Not only did they take away valuable spawning and baby habitat for salmon, they took away habitat for birds, amphibians, berries, insects, and countless other organisms that are vital for the health of the ecosystem. When the Nisqually tribe formed their Natural Resources Department, they formally started the process of restoring their homeland and its boundaries. Although OHOP Creek is not a physical part of the Nisqually Reservation, it is an essential part of the Nisqually watershed and Nisqually's bioregion. most notably the salmon. Salmon that are caught and used by the Nisqually from the Nisqually River use tributary streams and creeks such as Ohop to spawn and for young fish to grow in particular. With tributaries, many salmon in the Nisqually watershed would have no place to reproduce or trap. The Nisqually watershed is a big place with many tributaries. One might ask why they would pick this one out of all.
The reason we chose Ohop Creek is we did, before we decided to do any work in any particular place in the watershed, what we did is we did a whole scientific analysis of the habitat available for salmon in the watershed and how salmon use the habitat and how it's changed over time. And then we use that model to look and see where could we do projects that would make the biggest difference for the fish in the future that would achieve our goals of recovering salmon populations in the Nisqually watershed. And so what that told us is there are a couple key places in the watershed that we should work first. And one of them is Ohop Creek, and it's one of two key tributaries to the Nisqually River that are used by multiple species of salmon in the Nisqually. And they're really important. The Michelle and Ohop are particularly important because of something called life history diversity for fish. And basically, when we look at a fish population, we don't just look at how many fish, we also look at other aspects of the population that will increase their likelihood of surviving over time. And one of the things that we look at is called life history diversity, which means where do the fish go in time and in space, making sure they're in lots of different places at lots of different times. And what that does is it ensures that over the long term, that the fish are likely to survive if there's some, let's say there's some catastrophic kind of event that happens, like there's an oil spill in the main river, right when all the fish are coming upstream. If all the fish are coming upstream at the same time, in the same place, and you have that oil spill on top of them, that you can wipe out the whole run, and then you just don't have fish anymore. But if the fish are coming up at different times, there are different places, let's say you have that in the main river, but there's fish that are in Ohop Creek in the Michelle, and they escape, then they can survive, reproduce, and then when their next generation comes back, they can start repopulating those areas that got hit by whatever that event was. So we're actually looking at the Ohop Creek and the Michelle River projects as the projects that really, that's one of the really important things that they do, is they increase that life history diversity and the likelihood of the species to survive over the long term. The other thing, though, is that we actually, for some species, we do believe that the Ohop Creek restoration work that we've identified is going to make a significant difference in terms of total numbers of fish.
Restoration of Ohop Creek would be directly effective for population numbers of coho salmon.
More than doubling, I want to say maybe a fourfold increase in the coho population in Ohop Creek, which is a huge increase in the overall population, the Nisqually population, because Ohop is very important to coho for the abundance and the population.
Once it was decided Ohop needed restoration, the community met with engineers to explore options. Engineers formulated four different options, ranging from doing nothing to a full-scale restoration. The full-scale turned out to be the cheapest and best and was decided on by the community, who was working with many organizations, including
CRO, Citizens Reclaiming the Ohop Watershed, SPSSEG, South Puget Sound Salmon Enhancement Group, the PCCD, Pierce County Conservation District, and the NLT, Nisqually Land Trust, and many more.
Each year, the state, the last couple budgeting cycles, has allocated $18 million to statewide restoration. This year, because of the budget cuts, right now the governor's budget is proposing $10 million. That's for the entire state. We're talking about one project in our watershed. We could use up the entire state fund to get it done.
just because there is federal funding and state funds allocated for river restoration projects. This does not mean the funds are sufficient due to the amount of restoration projects underway in the Nisqually Watershed Basin. Although there has been no remanipulation of the creek, other necessary preliminary steps have gone underway. With patience comes results. With the OHOP restoration process having to be broken up into different phases due to money issues, the first phase of that being a mass tree planting, which has begun, yet due to money allocation, the next phase must begin this summer, or else funding will be lost. It would seem that motivation and patience are finally proving to be the victors in this long-awaited process. Since the late 90s, salmon population in the OHOP Creek has been fought for in the context that the creek must be re-manipulated in order to get the salmon back. It is only in the past couple of years to now have the organizations started to make physical headway.